Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
2006 was the year My Family Gospel Goes Classical. And that is Jonathan Butler bringing us to 38 minutes after one. Where were you in 2006? I know exactly where our next guest was in 2006. And in fact, I think that was around the year where we actually met, 2006, if not just a little bit later than that. And of course, our next guest, my family, no stranger to the media. He is Christian journalist and a YouTuber now, social commentator. He's an advocate for righteousness. And this is how I know him. And this is how I dare say the public knows him. Solomon Izang Ashoms, now known as Uncle Saul, right?
I can't believe that. When people like you call me Uncle Saul, it's just like, please, you know who I am.
You know what I mean?
But you've known me for a while.
But you know, this is the thing. So when I saw, you know, the title Uncle Solomon, I'm like, Uncle, are we there already? Like, Solomon, that, you know, see you and see an uncle. Matong.
Exactly. Even my son cheekily calls me Uncle Saul sometimes.
Oh, wow.
And it's just something that, you know, the African culture is beautiful. How people who are younger than you,
yeah,
even if it's just 2 years or whatever, you know, have the respect. They call you uncle. So on my YouTube channel, I got a lot of South Africans calling me Malume, you know.
I love that.
Malume. So yeah. So I now had to explain it because I have a lot of audiences in the rest of Africa, up in Europe,
sure.
Africans in the diaspora in the U.S. So I have to explain to them because they kept seeing this Malume Solomon. It's like, what is this? So I had to translate it. And all of a sudden, the names just got stuck, you know. I get people who you would never imagine, people like you, would never imagine would call me Uncle Solomon. And then you're calling me Uncle Solomon. And you're like, hey, this thing is, it's a bit, you know, but, you know, like you rightly said, that's what people are. Call me now, and it's great to be on your show.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for making it, man. Who would have known, Saul? How many years ago now? Almost 20 years ago, bro.
Yes.
Almost 20 years ago, and this is absolutely phenomenal. Just thinking back on all of those years and what the Lord has done, you know, to use you phenomenally in the media space, I think a lot of people will probably not know that some of your body of work includes, amongst many other works, Parable Magazine, which came out and basically gave, I think, the Christian printing space permission to go out and print Christian news. And so that's just one of some of the works that you have done. But today, Saul, talking about, you know, the names that you get given, it's not always that we celebrate you. You know what I mean? I mean, there are times, man, that, you know, because of the kind of work that you do as a Christian journalist, which, by the way, ethically is your responsibility. I suppose then as a Christian, you know, also a calling, you know, to expose unrighteousness and to point people to sort of the correct way. Let's just go back, Saul, and look at the status of the church. And since you've, you know, sort of focusing on the work that you do, what does the church look like from where you're sitting, Saul?
From where I'm sitting, the church is in a state, you know, a part of the church, you know. So we have a divided church. We have a church, a certain, I would say, minority, sadly, who is really seeking after righteousness, you know, who is pursuing John 10:10, you know, Matthew 10:44, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added to you. But then we have another part of the church who is actually the same people that Jesus came into the temple, you know, and said, the house of my Father is supposed to be a place of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. You know, and then we have another congregation who is not really sure.
Fence sitters.
Yes, the fence sitters. They can swing any way, sadly. And God loves all of us, but also He desires that we as a church, we become a salt and a light, you know.
Mm.
But the light is not as bright as it should be. And I think for me, that's like the state of the church, wherever you find yourself. And when we say the church, we're not just saying the church in itself. We're talking about even Christians who are in business, in politics.
Right.
In academia, in health, are you a church right there? Are you being a salt and a light where you are? Are you representing, or are you compromising, or following unrighteous routes to be able to acquire what you want to success and all of that?
And so then, because we have these three realities coexisting, how would you advise, just also from observation and the kind of interactions and work that you do, how do you advise that the righteous persist in order to brighten that light? And I'm not suggesting that, you know, we brighten our own light, because I think that would have many other, you know, fleshly connotations.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have no light.
Ah, come on, Solomon. I'm talking about the righteous. Okay, let's talk about the... Yes, we don't have any light. You're right. The light is it belongs to Christ, right? And so what kind of positioning and what needs to happen on our part in order for the little, as a revelation would say, that we must hold on to the little that we have? How do we hold on, and what needs to happen?
I think we need to visit, you know, some of the scriptural testaments and examples of people who were courageous. You know, I think we need to embrace, you know, courage. Remember, there was a time in... And the Bible was written, a lot of the government in itself. Rome was a very powerful empire, so it was dictating and deciding a lot, you know. And Christianity was a minority, you know. But still, because of their courage and boldness and really following the teachings of Jesus, they became so powerful that even the Roman Empire couldn't contain them, you know. And so we need to go to a place where we activate that courage, you know. We need to go to a place where we ask ourselves a lot of questions. We're living in a different time now compared to Bible times. We need to understand the times.
Mm-hmm.
Do we understand the times that we're living in?
Mm-hmm.
How do we now begin to pursue righteousness, or are we going to allow ourselves to be corrupted and contaminated by the different views and ideologies that we have flying here? So we need a lot of boldness to do that. And I think for a lot of people, I think they don't value their faith as much as they value other things in their life. That's why they don't give the oil and the... They're not courageous. You need to be able to say, if I perish, I perish. If I'm not going to get the job or the promotion, or I'm not going to make the money, I'm still going to stand on righteousness. I'm still going to take the biblical way of doing things, apply biblical principles in what I do.
Solomon, we're living in a time where we are so exposed to vulnerabilities. Would you agree?
I do, very much. Very much.
As a church, if it's not legislation, you know, it is the manifestation of this. If it's not the manifestation, hey, it's Solomon, wait. And I already have the answer, but just to encourage somebody else, how do we mine the courage, you know, to say, if I perish, I perish? How do we mind? I mean, considering, with all things considered, you know, if it's not, you being persecuted in the marketplace because you're standing for righteousness. It's perhaps you being persecuted in the church because the church has suddenly become lukewarm and you're being hot. You're becoming an anomaly. If not that, maybe your own character issues are starting to deal with you and it just becomes a lot. You know, how do we mine that courage? What are some of the ways and strategies that you would suggest, you know, that we mine that courage?
I think everybody is at a different place in their work with God. You know, and it's not a one size fits all.
Right.
Kind of thing.
No, right.
You know, you need to put it in your life, your context, where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, there is a commonality. And the commonality is, are you walking in obedience to God? So the commonality is obedience. Right. So we're going to face a lot of challenges, and it's coming, and more is coming. You know, it's going to question our faith. And if the foundation of our faith is not strong, is not rooted, then whatever wind of doctrine or persecution would sort of make us timid, and like you said, we would become lukewarm. You know, because the measure of your faith as a Christian is not your attendance to church or biblical study or prayer. It is the application of biblical principles where it is difficult to actually apply biblical principles. You know, it is your, because that would measure your obedience with God. So obedience is there. And the second thing is the fear of God. So when I say fear, I'm talking about reverence. I fear my father, not because I'm afraid of him because he's a dictator. No, it's a sign of respect for him because he knows better than I do. And I don't want to disappoint him. I want to follow his instructions because I know his instructions would really get me to be successful. So there is a lack of a fear of God. And we actually, even around the church, we have, amongst ourselves, we don't want to be told this is sin or that is sin. You know, and sin dims our light. It dims our effectiveness. It dims our saltiness. So we need to begin to ask ourselves regularly and continuously, do I walk in obedience with God?
Right,
My action, my decision,
sure,
was that based on a fear of God? Was that really based in obedience with God? Then you're going to learn gradually from it. And to be honest with you, a lot of it is centered around that. You meet some really great Christians. No one is perfect, but then you would be shocked to see how much they have embraced that is not biblical, you know, which has become almost normal. And the government, part of the government, the government is always going to go against biblical principles. So we might as well make peace with that. But how do we approach it? How do we deal with such situations? You know, pastors or bishops, some of them will go against biblical principles, whether intentionally or not. How do we deal with it? At your office, people are going to persecute you. People are going to say things. People are going to want to do things. How do you deal with it?
Sure. Now, you know, as we conclude our conversation, Saul, I'm taking in everything that you're saying. And my family, if you've just joined us, it's 8 before the top of the hour. That is our time here on Radio Pulpit. You're on 657 AM, 1352, quite specifically. And if you'd like to join this conversation, we are on 082-657-2729. Please do catch us on 012-334-1322 if you'd like to chat and to just add your view in this conversation. Saul, So,
yes,
one of the work that you have specifically been called to do is boldly, you know, mine out those briars and thistles and thorns, you know, that continue to contaminate the plant and the vineyard of the Lord. What are some of those manifestations, even if it's not specific, you know, names and whatever, but those manifestations that you have seen? And is there a thread, you know, in the nature of these thorns that keep coming out from out of the church?
Sorry, can you rephrase that question again?
So, in some of the exposés, right, that you have exposed in
yes.
terms of, you know, the manifestation of unrighteousness, you know, people like the book of Revelation says, who call themselves Christians but are actually not, all of these things. Is there a thread, you know, in those manifestations in terms of behavior, characteristics? And if yes, what is the thread there?
Yeah, I think we are beginning to see a lot. Some of the manifestation is actually through deception. You know, deception has become really a very, very big deal. Now you get churches that started very well, or individuals who are pastors, bishops. They started very well, but 12 years, 15 years down the line, you listen to them teach or preach, and you notice a huge, level of deception through their teachings. I mean, they quote scriptures and all of that. And that is a very dangerous type of deception because it will be easy for you to accept and embrace that teaching, not knowing that it's deception just because it's marinated with scriptures or with articulation, or because you know this pastor has been teaching for 20 years. But that's not enough. We need to be like the church in Berea, who would go listen to Paul, and they would go home and they search the scripture to make sure that what Paul was teaching is actually authentic. So deception is definitely a big part of it. And I would say also we've seen a lot of selfishness that has manifested itself in I want.
Me.
So you see, you hear a lot of prayers. If you go to a lot of meetings or people praying, you would see a lot of the prayers is about me, not about community anymore, not about people anymore, you know. And then you also see a lot of so you see these prayers, and even a lot of gospel music is going that way.
No, right. That's not based on the word.
Yes, it's more like God will do this for you. God will do that for you. You are this. You are that. It's good to hear that, you know. But you see, that is just if I walk in obedience with God and the fear of God, obviously, I know that God is going to meet my needs. God is going to do this for me. God is going to do that for me. Right? So we've seen those subtly coming into the church gradually. And we've seen also, sadly, a lot of demonic transfer, you know, through deliverances. You know, so part of the deception is to also tell people that, look, this is why this is happening to you, you know, because you need deliverance. And there's a lot part of the deliverance in church today that is all about putting you in bondage. You know?
Come on, Saul.
To keep you there, because that's where Satan wants you. So there's a lot of demonic transfer and people being prayed for and people being laid, you know, they lay hands on you and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
Which we need to be extremely careful. You know, because the church has become, there's a lot of sangomas and witch doctors who run pulpits, who are like so-called pastors today, unfortunately. So I've noticed that. And also there's a lot of abuse, sexual abuse. I have exposed quite a lot of this in the last 10 years, you know, sexual abuse. A church is supposed to be a refuge for women, especially in South Africa, where sexual abuse, abuse of women and children is a big deal. And the church should be a safe haven. But unfortunately, there are some leaders and some advantage of this woman, actually, even spiritualize it to say it's okay for me to sleep with you, to have sex with you. You know, God is okay with it because this would help you do that and all that kind of, you know, rubbish, you know, which gets me really, really angry. So we see quite a lot of that abuse, you know, sexual abuse, and finally, financial abuse, which has become a big deal where you, for almost everything, you have to sow a seed, you know. You need money. For you to access God, you need to give money to the pastor.
You know, Saul, I'm going to ask you, my brother, truest, you know, amongst many, you know, absolute truest, that maybe if you could just, you know, take this moment to just pray for the church, you know, considering some of the backlash that you have received, considering some of the character assassination that you have received for the work that you do. You know what I mean? You know, and you know, I keep thinking, do people know that they are actually talking to a BBC certified journalist? I mean, you know, do people understand who Saul is? Anyway, you know, so, you know, maybe just to take a moment, you know, to pray for the church as we conclude this conversation. And thank you so much for your time.
No pleasure. I must say, you know, let's follow God in spirit and in truth. It's costly. They don't tell you this lately in churches, that following Jesus is costly. They tell you following Jesus is comfortable and all that. I'm sorry, it's not comfortable, you know, but you would grow and walk in victory in such a way that God's comfort, his idea of comfort, is totally different from ours.
Absolutely.
I have been, my reputation has been damaged in a lot of ways. They tried to damage it. They've been attacking me. I went to prison for these things, you know. There's a cost for it. It's my family, my wife took a lot of strain, my kids, you know, and I even myself, you know. People would say, Solomon, just stop doing what you're doing.
You know, I'm one of them. You remember me. I'm like, so I asked. I'm like, Solomon.
This is going to traumatize you, or this is going to do it. But it comes with the territory, you know. But God really wants us to really walk with him. He loves us so much. But we need to fear him so we can walk with him better. So let me pray for us.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and how you have called us each by name for a different purpose. Some are called to go out and some are called to be home and pray and support. Some are called to support in different ways. Some are called to different fields in society. We thank you. Over our nation, South Africa, we pray for a spirit of reverence. A reverence that would draw us closer to you. You desire that we draw closer to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, we pray for that spirit. May we not, O Lord, settle for comfort. May we settle for who you are.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We break every stronghold of Satan around the church. Stronghold of abuse and stronghold of deception. Every demonic manipulation, we break it in the name of Jesus. We release families. We set families free, individuals free. Let their minds be open. We go, Lord, destroy the works of Satan. We ask that you would expose every deception that is around our country. And
Lord,
importantly, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to refine us, that we will continue to be refined, O Lord. Father, make us bold as lions.
Yes, Lord.
but as gentle as doves.
Yes, Father.
So we bless you. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sure. Amen and amen. Solomon, the Lord really bless you, my brother. May he continue to keep you and may he shelter you. The other morning we were meditating on Psalm 16, you know, and there's a verse, I think it's verse 4, that says, the Lord guards all that is mine.
Right.
May you live in the comfort of that declaration and promise by the Lord that he indeed continues to guard all that is yours. And you know, for people like yourself, Saul, who are called as watchmen and gatekeepers, you know, whose job is to see the enemy from far off. So when you speak in 2024, people think, oh, there's something wrong with him. And then when it begins to manifest in 2028, you know, we come back to you and say, yeah, Saul, we can see. So please don't be tired. understand our unbelief, you know. The Lord really keep you, man, and may you grow from strength to strength in Jesus' name. Yeah,
amen.
My family, what a conversation this afternoon, my friend and brother. Solomon Izenga Shams, he is indeed a certified, actually journalist. He's worked for the BBC, and I don't know why Saul stopped doing sports, you know, journalism. Maybe that would be a great way, you know, to take some of the pressure off in between ministry assignments. But we absolutely appreciate that conversation. We're now going to have a look at some of the good news that this country is producing, because we're not just a country, you know, with a difficult political, social culture, with a difficult political and social culture. No! We've got great news happening. And one of the great news, my family, is that, of course, as we continue to invite you to support our Vision-a-thon, we want to say thank you so much to Brian for his wonderful contribution to Radio Pulpit. And we encourage you, my family, to do exactly the same as Brian, to help us to meet our 300,000 target this week. Continuing from where we left it off in May this year. If you would like to contribute to the work of Radio Pulpit, do drop us an SMS with the word give to 37871, followed by your name and the amount that you'd wish to give, or send us a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Let's take a look at some of your good news here in South Africa.
Sihamba ngokholwa, hayi ngokubona. Hamba nathi. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.